Blog Talk Radio.
What he's
when he's talking about enter into his rest. What is he talking about? And so we want to, this is something that every saint should know, because this is a doctrine that is taught in the world, and they use it to not keep the Sabbath, to not obey it. And so I just want, you know, everyone that's listening that attends the newcomer's class or those that are interested in what this verse actually means, to know what Yah is talking about concerning this. There are several things that Yah wants to rest in. And so we're going to look into these things in this lesson. I want to remind everybody that Sunday, 10 a.m., is the Feast of Pentecost. We will have a special service for that at 10 a.m. on Sunday. We don't usually meet on Sundays, but we will meet this Sunday coming up to celebrate Pentecost. And, you know, the weekly Sabbath, attending those lessons. I pray that the series that we are doing on false salvation, that is blessing someone, and that you are learning something from it. You know, brotherly love versus the love of the Most High, and that's how Antichrist will come, presenting brotherly love in place of the love of the Most High. That is what people can identify with, and so many will fall for that and into that. And so we want to make sure that we understand that brotherly love does not take the place of the love of the Most High, and they are not the same thing. So it's a grand deception, and we will continue in that series on Sabbath, false salvation, so that we can understand that, you know, we need to walk in the love of the Most High. We need to love the way the Most High loves, and we need to use His standard always to determine if we're walking right. You know, when we use the standard of men to determine if we're walking right before the Most High, then we're going to fall short every time. And this is the trick that the enemy uses, you know, because we just say love, brotherly love. And, you know, so treat your brother like this and love like that and so forth and so on. But it's not the same standard. Doesn't include the laws of the Most High in it, is the bottom line. Doesn't include His laws, His statutes, His commandments, His judgment. It's not from His standpoint. And so it's very easy for mankind to fall into that trap. When as the Most High is showing me this, you know, I just want to make sure that we understand and that we're walking according to His word, according to His standard, and not the standard of men, not the traditions of men, not the doctrines of men, but that we are walking according to His word in everything. So in this class, we are looking at Yah's rest and what that means in the scriptures. Is it a replacement? You know, is it a reason not to obey the weekly Sabbath? Is it talking about the weekly Sabbath? Is it talking about any of his Sabbath days in reference to that? Because I've heard preachers teach that Yah's, you know, that they rest in Messiah. He is their Sabbath rest. But I don't really think that they understand what this really means. Okay, and so we're going to cover this in this class that we can walk accordingly in the truth of the Word of Yah. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith on this evening, and then we'll jump into this class. Let me have the ladies who cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us go before the Most High. Let us turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify you, O Yah Elohim, and we extol you above all that there is, for you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise, Father, and we bow down the knee to you, and we give you honor on today, Father. We ask that you would be a part of this meeting, Father, and that it would be your will and your way that the people are taught. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All glory to you, oh God, Elohim. All glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, hallelujah. Holy hands raised. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, let us go ahead and jump into this precept on today. I tried to upload this lesson to the room. Let me see if it actually went there or not. Give me 1 second. I uploaded it twice. I'm not seeing where it actually went. Don't see it there. Try to put it there. Okay, I'll try to upload it later so that you guys can have access to it. But I'm going to go ahead and jump into this. And let us look into Yah's rest. All right, like as I was saying, over the years I've heard people have discussions concerning Yah's rest and Messiah being the rest of Yah. Talking about rest, R-E-S-T. And we'll look at that word just a second. Let me pull my Bible up. Let me get the Greek word for this is in the Greek. And the Greek word for this is anapeio, anapeio. And anapauo. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. A-N-A-P-A-U-O. Respectively, to repose, literally or figuratively, be exempt, remain, by implication, to refresh, take ease, give or take rest, is what it means. Okay? And so, Yah tells us to enter into his rest. He said that his people in the wilderness would not enter into his rest. Okay, so we want to look at this in depth on this evening. Probably, I don't know, as Yah moves, you know, that's how I'll go with this. Might be one or two lessons on this. But we, you know, this is what we want to look into. And so, I feel many use these two precepts as an excuse not to observe Yah's Sabbath. Many in the church use these not to equate it to his Sabbath. And it really comes down to they don't really want to be like, quote unquote, the Jews. Okay. Or they believe that Yah's Sabbath can be observed every day of the week. This really goes back to Romans chapter 14, where he says, you know, don't let any man judge you. The kingdom is not meat or drink. And one man esteems one day and another man esteems every day. And what Yah said is that, you know, I don't want you, if they say they belong to me, don't argue with them about these things. And so we're not arguing with them about them concerning this, because the bottom line is he says he's going to judge. He's the one that's going to judge. But we want to know in the scriptures, what is he meaning by this? His rest. So let us, as new saints of Yah, look into the word of Yah and see what Yah considers to be his rest and how we are to enter into it. That is the whole purpose of this lesson. So that when we hear, or you might be YouTubing, or you might be listening to someone else, and they say, you know, we're entering into his rest, and, you know, they're not talking about keeping Sabbath or actually speaking against it. Okay. Unbelief on the part of our forefathers prevented them from entering into Yah's rest. It was unbelief that caused them not to enter into his rest. Okay. And so we're going to see what this is. Every man doing that which was right in his own eyes has and will keep the vast majority of men from entering into Yah's rest. If you're not doing what Yah said to do, if you are in disobedience, you will not enter into his rest. You will not be at peace with Yah. You will enter into his wrath. Okay, so as we will find out, the Yah's rest does not have anything to do with a day, a holy day, or a feast day, but has all to do with salvation, the promised land, and entering into his kingdom. So this is what that rest is all about. It's about our salvation. It's about the promised land. And it's about entering into his kingdom. But they have equated it to, because Sabbath means rest, that when it says you have entered into rest with Messiah, that they don't have to keep the Sabbath. Misunderstanding what this really equates to. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you build unto me? Now, David had built, asked the Most High, can I build a house for you? I have a palace. You've given me this great palace, and you are living in a tent. And David's like, that's not right. If I have a palace, how is the creator of the whole earth going to be living in a tent? So he asked the Most High, could he build him a house? And the Most High said, basically, you can gather the stuff for it, but you won't build it because there's blood on your hands, the blood of Uriah. It wasn't the blood of war. It was the blood of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, that was on his hand. You're not going to build me a house, but I'll let your son do it. Okay? So he says, where is the house you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, when we read the other verses with that, let me go there. And I got this supersized. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. So he's telling David, and he's telling us, where is my throne? The heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Now, we are actually the temple of the Most High, and we are the house that he desires to dwell in. Okay, but his rest is something different. And he wants to rest in us. So it has to do with his people. It has to do with our salvation. It has to do with the promised land. It has to do with entering into the kingdom. Okay, all these things that this refers to. Let's look at what is the place of Yah's rest. Let's go to Psalms, and we're going to start breaking it down from there. Psalms 132, starting in verse 12. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For Yah has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation, the place that he's going to dwell. That word habitation is a dwelling place. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So Zion is a place of his rest, dealing with the land of Israel. I will abundantly bless her provision bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints will shout aloud for joy. So the Most High has chosen Zion in the land of Canaan, which he renamed Israel, as his place of rest. And this is the land that he looks over. But that's not all that this his rest means. That's not all that it means. So when we look at this and we break down verse 14, this is my rest. Okay? Let's look at this word rest from Psalm, the book of Psalms. We're going to break this word down in the scripture. Okay? So this is a Hebrew word. And give me a hot second. My screen is set up. This word is Manukah. M-E-N-U-W-C-H-A-H. Manukah. Feminine of H-4495. Repose or adverbially, peacefully, figuratively, consolation, matrimony, hence, concretely, an abode, comfortable, ease, quiet, resting place, still. So he's talking about, in this sense, a place. And he says Zion is that place. And Zion is where he's going to take his people to. Zion is the land that he has promised his people, both Jew and Gentile, that this is the place that they will inhabit, okay, in the kingdom. So his rest in this sense is Zion. The Strong Hebrew Dictionary, 3427, Yashab, a primitive root, properly to sit down, specifically as a judge, in ambush, in quiet, by implication, to dwell or to remain causively, to settle, to marry, to make abiding continue, cause to make to dwell, or dwelling, ease self, endure, establish, fail, habitation, a hunt, as in a living place, make to inhabit, make to keep, as in a house, lurking, marry or marrying, bring it again, place, remain, return, seek or settle, settle down, sit down, still. So these are all of the different variations of this word and what it can mean. Okay, so this really has to do with, it can be deal with relationship, to marry or to settle down. It can deal in a habitation as a dwelling place. And so we really have to look at the context of the actual usage in the verse or verses that it's speaking to. And so in this case, he's saying that it was a place that he would tarry, a place that he would rest at, a place that he would call his own home, his own domicile, Zion, okay, in this world. So what is another name for Zion? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. And the word of the Most High reads. I need to change the way, I really need to change this up. Just a second. Let me change this up. I just got it way too large. Let's see, view, magnification. Get down to 150. Okay. Next. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come. Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of Yah, to the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us his way, and we will walk in his path, for out of Zion the law. And the word of Yah. from Jerusalem, Zion, Ishion, the same regularly as 867:25, Ishion as a permanent capital, a mountain of Jerusalem, Zion. So this is where the mountain of the Most High is, Zion. Now, whether that, and that cannot be Sinai, because Sinai is not in Jerusalem. So mountain within Israel, outside of Jerusalem, that the Most High says is his dwelling place, and it's his mountain. And it's known as Zion, but it's equated to Jerusalem, because it's around Jerusalem. Okay, so this is what Zion means. A mountain of Jerusalem, Zion. Okay, and that's the mountain of the Most High, and that's where he's going to meet his people at. Before he brought Israel into, before he brought the children of Israel into Canaan and into Jerusalem, there were some other people that were in the land. The Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and these people had corrupted the land of the Most High from a while back, because remember, that Melchizedek is the king of peace, the king of Jerusalem. And at one time, the Most High dwelt there and was the king there. But the people corrupted themselves. And they corrupted his land. And they were, technically speaking, Egyptians. And so realize that Israel, the land of Israel, goes, is supposed to go from the Nile River eastward from the Nile to the West Bank River. And if you look on the land, if you look on the map, then you will see all of that land in between there. And that all belonged to, the Most High chose all of that for himself. And he watches over it. That's why we see so many conflicts in the world over that land. It belongs to him. And men know that it's a special place. But they want to control it. Okay, and the Most High said it belongs to him. And so in the end, when he puts down all of the world government as we see in the statue of Babylon, the statue of confusion, all the governments that would try to control Israel or that would control the land of Israel throughout history, the Gentile nation. Most of this, in the end, he will crumble that system. And what he told Joshua to do, when he took the children of Israel into the land, throw down all their altars, tear down all their high places, get rid of their Elohim in the land, the things that they worship, get rid of it out of this land. It was polluted. And the Messiah, Yahshua, when he returns, he's going to do it on a global scale. Get rid of all the false Elohim out of the world, starting in Jerusalem, starting in Zion, and then getting rid of them all throughout the world. So Joshua was told to get rid of them out of the land of Israel that the Most High had given to Abraham. The Messiah is going to do it on a global scale. And if you read, you know, the books of the Kings, then you will notice that there was one place, even Solomon and David, there was one or two kings that actually did what the Most High actually said to do. For some reason, people believe that the higher they get in the air, the closer they are to the Most High. So they made their altars in the high places, in the tops of the mountains. And he told them to tear down their high place. And even when you come into the New Testament and you see the woman at the well, the first thing she says, our fathers worship in this mountain. That was something that you know, our forefathers, those that escaped from the kings of Assyria, they continued to do. They continued to worship Baal in the high place. But this was one of the things that he had told Joshua and all the kings. Tear down those high places where the people go to worship, and only worship me where I put my name at. And so this has to do with all of that, okay? So what kept the people out of Zion / Jerusalem? Go to Psalms 95, the book of Psalms chapter 95. One, and read through verse 11. Psalms 95, starting in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto Yah. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with song. For Yah is a great Elohim and a great king above all Elohim. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yah, our maker, for he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Underline that word, the provocation. Okay? And as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. How did they provoke Yah? How they provoked Yah kept them out of his rest, out of Zion. And so we're going to look at that in a few minutes. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my way, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So again, he's referring back to his rest, his land. Okay, and so what kept them out? They erred in their heart. This is the only people in the written word that I know of that caused the Most High to break his word. Think about that. The Most High makes a promise. He gives his word. Then he has to go back on his word. Our forefathers did that. And that breach of promise caused them not to enter in. That error that they've had in their heart, and them not knowing his ways, but not even wanting to know his ways. That was the problem. So let's go to Numbers chapter 13. The book of Numbers chapter 13. Fathers did. Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of Yah, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shemaiah, the son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Pelti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sadi; of the tribe of Joseph, namely the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel; of the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael; and the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai, the son of Vashi; of the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Yehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth there, wherewith they be strong, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they that be that they dwell in, where whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was time for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anat, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now, we don't know when Zoan in Egypt was built, but this city was, Hebron was built before it. Okay, now why it would refer to Egypt? Because all of this land actually belonged to the Egyptians at one time. And when you read about the Egyptians in the scripture will tell you that the Egyptians were the people of the Most High. They still are. Okay? When you go to Isaiah chapter 19. But he chose Israel to be his priesthood because Zoan was actually a place, and there's a priest of Zoan. And they were the Egyptian priests. And they corrupted themselves. And all of Egypt corrupted itself. So when you go back and you read the scriptures, when David asked the Most High, let me build you a house, and the Most High says, where is the house that you will build me? You know, all the earth is mine. Where is the house that you will build me? He says, I haven't had a house. I haven't dwelt in a house since Egypt. And you can read right over it. Okay, but we tend to want to leave Egypt out of the equation when Egypt is all through this book. Okay, and so in Isaiah chapter 9 to that, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the works of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. And so we got to understand when, you know, who the Most High is talking about and when. So here in Numbers, he's referring back to Egypt and the prince of Zoan, the city of Zoan, which was, I'm believing, it's not, you know, I'm saying this, but from what I read in the scriptures, this was a place where he dwelt at. Okay, and his house was there. But now he's taken out of you know, because Egypt corrupted itself. Then the Most High said, okay, I'm going to take out an inheritance out of the earth for myself. And that's what Israel is supposed to be. The Most High's inheritance. Those that would be dedicated to serving him. And it would be a nation. Not just a priesthood, but an entire nation. Really, the whole house of Israel is a priesthood when you really look at it from the correct way. A nation of priests. And within the nation of priests, you got different levels of the priesthood. With Aaron being the high priest and the Levites being priests within that family. But the nation of Israel was also a type of priesthood to the world. Different lesson. Okay. Let's keep going. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff. Now imagine this. You get a bunch of grapes at the store. You don't need two people to carry. You can't sit it on a staff or a pole. And you and your wife or your husband or your child got to carry it out to the car because it's that big. So this is this land is plentiful. One cluster of grapes between two upon a staff. And they brought it unto and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So they've been searching the land for 40 days, and they see that the land is plentiful. Now, what you got to understand here, the Most High said, this is the promised land. And I'm going to take you to a land full of milk and honey. And it's going to yield for you. This land is yielding for them the way the Most High intended for the entire earth to yield. This land is not up under the curse of Adam. Just remember, for Adam's sake, all the ground was cursed. And the earth has not yielded the way it should yield, but only in this place. Okay? So they searched the land 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran. Now we need to start paying attention here. There's a lot of detail here, okay? And Zion, Jerusalem, they're not in it yet. They have spied it out. And they have returned, okay, to Kadesh and brought back word unto them, and all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. One cluster of grapes, two men got to carry. I ain't never seen such a thing on any of the vines that men grow in this country. Saying that this promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, even today when the Most High removed himself, it's not giving the way that when the Most High dwells there. And this is the way the rest of the earth will give when he finally removes the curse from the earth, when he redeems the earth. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. So here's the fruit of the land, but here's the negative part. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites. The Jebusites control Jerusalem, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb sealed the people before Moses. Because, you know, you tell that the land is full of milk and honey. It's just like the Most High said. And here's some of the proof of it. Here's the fruit of it. But there's giants in the land, and those cities are walled, and they're strong. And evidently, you know, these people are already known. Because to name them off, and they haven't confronted them yet, haven't gone to battle with them yet, there must have been some type of, you know, word already around that these are some strong people. And so the people became restless. They became discouraged. And Caleb sealed the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Now, this is what the Most High wants to hear, because he's going to deliver it into their hands. Now, already imagine this, that all of these people have seen all of the miracles that the Most High did in Egypt. And they saw when the Red Sea was before them, and the Egyptian army behind them, and they were trapped. How the Most High split the Red Sea in part, that they could go through on. You know, when they show it on TV and you look at, oh, split the Red Sea in one part. That's not what the scripture says in the Psalms, that he split it in part. And so the children of Israel went through. And then Pharaoh, he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he might destroy the Egyptian army. There's the strength of Egypt. Watch what I do to it. I'm going to harden their heart. They're going to follow you in here, and I'm going to drown every one of them. They don't have an army now. You have to ever worry about them coming after you again. Okay? So He's showing the people. The people become discouraged. Caleb says, hey, let us go in now and possess the land. We are well able to overcome it. We're well able to overcome the giants. We're well able to overcome everybody that's in the land. We can take it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, this tells us that the people and these leaders are thinking that they're doing the work. They didn't deliver themselves out of Egypt. And the Most High let them go to war with some of the people in the land to teach them war, how to fight. But he's the one that was delivering those armies to them, the Moabites, the Amorites, the Amalekites. He's delivering them to Israel. But the men have gotten in the frame of mind that they were doing it. And we're not able to take these people. They're stronger than us. Just left the Most High completely out of it. Okay, and this is the problem. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out unto, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They are not exaggerating. If you think about somebody, if you describe yourself as a grasshopper to someone, that means that these men were actually taller than we really believe, and we haven't found any evidence. They say they do, but I think what, you know, like the Smithsonian has been doing, and a couple of even the Egyptians today, who are not really the true Egyptians, that they have hidden these things or they have destroyed these things. Because there were giants in the Americas. And when these graves were reported to the Smithsonian, they always collected the bones, and somehow they could not be found. Only a few, and these were, you know, men that were 10 or 12 feet tall, 15, 16 feet tall, but not to make men look like grasshoppers, that there was some people in this world that were 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 feet tall. And so the men saw them and said, hey, we, you know, they're bigger than we are. We're like grasshoppers in front of them. They will just mush us. The Most High knows what's there. And he's delivered Israel out of Egypt. He says, now I'm going to deliver this into your hands. And they don't believe because they have looked at themselves and not at the Most High. And this is a lesson for us. No matter how it may look, if Yah be for us, who can be against us? We can do this thing, and whatever his will is, nothing is impossible for him. So let's continue to look at the people and what they did, okay? What they did. The land, though we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come out of the giants, and we were in our sight as grass, so were we in their sight. Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. So the people are in distress. You have brought us out of Egypt. You brought us from the flesh pot. Even though they were being treated bad, they still loved where they were at. And they had this Egyptian mentality. And you brought us into the wilderness to go up against a people that we can't win against in their eyes. So they're discouraged, and they're crying all night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, Aaron, And the whole congregation said unto them, would Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt. Underline that. Because now everything that the Most High has done for them, they're saying they wish he had not done. We wish, Elohim, we had died in the wilderness. That he didn't make that water come out of that flint rock. A rock that's designed to bring forth fire. The Most High used it and made water come out of it. And then he caused that rock, that flint rock, to follow them wherever they went. And that. And they're trying to undo this. We wish we had died in the wilderness. And why and wherefore has Yah brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. You brought us out here to be killed. And that we're not going to be victorious. We're going to be the hunted, the prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Let us go back. This is what they want. And they are going to rebel. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us make our own captain and let us return to Egypt. We're going to fire Moses, or we're going to kill Moses and Caleb and Jephunneh, I think it's the other brother. We'll kill them and we're going to find our own captain and we're going to return to Egypt where Yah took us out of. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. Listen to this people and look at how they murmur and how they're going to come against Moses and Aaron and how they're going to come against the Most High. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If Yah delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. This is the faith they were supposed to have. But these other 10 men have said, no, we can't take the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against Yah. This is what the people are doing. We're going to rebel against Yah. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and Yah is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. So all the people said, no, we're going to stone Caleb. We're going to stone Joshua. We're going to stone Moses. We're going to stone Aaron. We're going to hire our own captain, and we're going back. And the glory of Yah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And Yah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they see me, or they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, these people saw everything that the Most High did. I will smite them with pestilence. I'm going to kill them all and disinherit them. And I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Moses, I'll use you. I'll kill all of thee with pestilence. And I'm going to disinherit them. They're going to lose their inheritance. They're going to lose the land. And Moses said unto Yah, then the Egyptians shall hear it. Wait a minute, Yah. The Egyptians whom you just took us away from, they will hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they, the Egyptians, will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou art among this people, that thou art seen face to face. The Egyptians are telling everybody. Their God, their Elohim is Elohim. And he is among them. And they are putting the fear of the people, of you in this people, that Yah are seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them. by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar by fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all the people as one man, so what he's saying there, if you look at all these people as one person and kill them all like you would do a single individual, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak and say, because Yah was not able, hear what he's saying, Yah was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them. Therefore, he has slain them in the wilderness. Yah brought these, they're going to say, Yah brought these people into the wilderness, and he wasn't able to deliver them into the promised land, so he killed them all. Hear what Moses is saying. Yeah, they're going to say, you brought the people into this land, and you weren't really able to deliver the land to the people. So rather than let them go, you killed. Look at the logic Moses is using here. And now I beseech thee, I beg you, let the power of my master be great, my Yah be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, Yah is long-suffering and of great mercy. Remember when Moses asked the Most High, let me see you. The Most High says, you can't see my face because no man can look on my face, but I'm going to set you in this cliff here, and I'm going to pass by, and you can see my backside. And as the Most High was walking passing, this is what the Most High say, Yah, long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of the people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Now the people murmured against the Most High repeatedly, and the Most High was angry with them, and he killed a bunch of them. Moses said, hey, continue to show your long suffering. Continue to pardon their iniquity, their lawlessness. And Yah said, I have pardoned according to your word. What was Moses' word? Let's go back up here. And by no means clearing the guilty. Yeah, everybody in this group ain't sinned against you. So don't clear the guilty. Don't kill everybody either. So Yah says, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. Underline that. Tempted the Most High 10 times. Murmured against them, and have not hearkened or listened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. So everybody that complained, that was of age, Most High is not counting the children. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow, turn, get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Go back to the Red Sea. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmured against them. As truly as I live, saith Yah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Remember, they complained. We wish that we had died in Egypt. We wish that we had died in the wilderness, rather than you to bring us to this place. You have brought us here to make our children a prey. Hear what the Most High says to them. So unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. For the age of accountability for the Most High was 20 years old. 20 years old. We say it's 18, then we say it's 21. But the Most High said the age of accountability is 20 years old. And upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into this land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Everybody else over 20 years old, you ain't coming in. That included Moses, and that included Aaron. Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which you said to be afraid, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach. Underline that. This is what they cause the Most High to do. You shall know my breach of promise. Cause me to break my word to you. I promise I'm going to bring all of you out of Egypt and all of you into the promised land. Every one of you. Now, everybody that's 20 years old and older, you're not coming in, and I have broken my word. That is saying something. You shall know my breach of promise. You caused me to break my word. So you're not coming in. Because they walked in unbelief. Because they didn't believe that the Most High could deliver the land to them. Because they, you know, they feared men more than they feared the Most High. Caused everybody 20 years old and up not to enter in. The Most High says, you know, I'm going to take a generation, 40 years, to kill all of you. I'm not going to do it all at once. That's a lot of people. If you really thought about it, everybody 20 years old and up, that's in the millions of people. That would leave the remainder having to bury that many people. So the Most High says, no, you're going to walk for 40 years, and while I kill you off, and you know, you might say kind of humanely, but everybody that was 20 years old and older, whatever age they were, if you were 50, you might live to be 90. But you know you weren't living a day past 90. Or if you were 20, you're going to live to be 40. Or 60, my bad. If you were 20, you're going to live to be 60. No older. They said you're going to walk for 40 years, and by the time that this 40 years is up, everybody that's 20 years old and older will be dead. I'm not taking you into the promised land. You caused me to break my word. Okay, and so if the Most High tells you something, if you believe the Most High told you something, you better walk in it with all your might, with all your strength, and not ever turn back from it, but do everything you can to walk in it and let him deliver it into your hands. Never lose faith. If he promised you, then you don't want to make him break his promise to you because of your unbelief. Verse 35, Yah have said it. I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to cursed the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against them by bringing up the slander upon the land. Even those men did that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before Yah. Now, these men died first. The leaders of Israel that brought up the evil report, the Most High gave them a plague, and they died quickly, starting with them. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now, I want to sort of go into a different aspect of this because there's something else here that I find that people do, okay? And instead of obeying the Most High, and instead of obeying him when he first talks to them, they want to walk in unbelief, and then when the punishment comes, or they realize that they are walking in error, then they want to go run and do what the Most High said do. They wonder why it failed. See it here, okay? I want you to pay attention to what our forefathers did. So Numbers chapter 14, verse 39. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain and say, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which Yah has promised. For we have sinned. We will go up to the land that Yah has promised. We're going to all of a sudden have faith because we disobeyed the Most High and we know he's mad at us. So we'll go ahead and do what it is that he wanted us to do. Don't do that. Because when you sin, the Most High won't be with you if it's out of disobedience. And Moses said, wherefore now, why now do you transgress the commandment of Yah? He told you to get back by the Red Sea. And you're going to turn your behind around and run over here and try to take this land that you just said yesterday couldn't be delivered to you. We sinned. We didn't believe the Most High. And now we're going to die in the wilderness. Everybody that's 20 years old and older, we'll go over and take it now. But the Most High had already told them, get your behind back by the Red Sea. So they're going to be a disobedient again. And Moses said, why now do you transgress the commandment of Yah? Commandment is return to the Red Sea, not go over and take the land. But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for Yah is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. See, they think it's them. They still haven't gotten it. And they don't believe and don't have faith in the Most High. I'm going to deliver this into your hands. I'm going to get rid of the giants out of the land. I'm going to give you supernatural strength that one of you will chase 1,000, and 10 of you, 10,000. I'm going to give you supernatural strength that these things would be delivered to you. None of you will die, because I promised that I would take you all into this land. So none of them could die, as long as they had faith. But now they're going to go over on their own accord and go against the commandment of the Most High. I say, get back by the Red Sea. No, we're going to go over and take it now. We have sinned. We didn't believe you. And we were in error. So now we want to do what you said, what you were telling us to do. And we're going to take the land because you said we could take the land. But no, I said, I would give you the land. I would deliver it into your hands. And you have been disobedient. I told you to go back to the Red Sea. Moses said, don't y'all go over there. Yah is not with you. But they believe it's them. For the Amalekite and the Canaanite are there before you. and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from Yah. Therefore, Yah will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. That means that they willfully disobeyed. No, we're going to go up and we're going to take this. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yah and Moses departed not out of the camp. The Ark was supposed to go first. And the glory of the Most High was supposed to go before them. Moses said, we ain't going nowhere. The people ran over. Then the Amalekite came down, and the Canaanite which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, killed them, and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. So when the Most High tells you to do something, you need to do it without doubting. If he gives you a vision of something that he wants you to do, you need to believe that vision, and you need to do it without doubting. Because this is what our forefathers did. They doubted. They got discouraged and looked to be, you know, like they couldn't do it. You know, those people are too mighty for us. And we today, you know, a lot of the times we will see something and we know Yah is telling us to do it, but then we look at the odds, we look at what it is that we got to overcome, and we think it's us. I'll provide and I will make a way for you. Just don't lose faith. Our forefathers did that and got killed. So don't do what our forefathers did. Take something from this lesson that if Yah says, okay, you did something in disobedience, or you've been disobedient to, you're in sin, and he tells you to go do something else, then always obey his voice. See, he may, you know, I may not kill you, I may take you back here and chastise you, and then keep my promise to you, and deliver this thing into your hands. Whatever it is that he desires to do, we have to be obedient to him, and we have to fall within his will. So because our forefathers disbelieved, as it said in the psalm, they grieved him, they tempted him, and, you know, we need meat. We were the flesh pots that. You brought this whole people out here into the wilderness to die of thirst. The Most High let them go hungry a few days. But they understood that, you know, it's millions of y'all, and if I don't feed you, ain't enough game out here in this wilderness for y'all to eat. Unless you eat the food that you're bringing with you, the cattle and stuff like that. Then once you run out of them, what you gonna do? So the Most High flew in quail. 10 miles wide, 3 feet deep every day. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you the meat that you want. I'm going to rain down manna on the ground to give you bread. I'm going to cause water to come out of this flint rock every day and water, provide water for you, the animals, and everybody. Every day, no matter where you move, this rock is moving too. See, when they read that in the scriptures in the New Testament, they believe that that rock, which was Christ, they believe that it was actually Messiah, that it was actually Yeshua HaMashiach in the wilderness with them. No. That rock, which was Christ, that Christ means the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. He used that rock, that flint rock, to save his people. It was literally a rock. He caused it to follow them. So they see these miracles and they still have doubt as to what he can do, as to what he will do. And the Most High says, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. These 10 times you have doubted me. You have murmured against me. Now, everybody 20 years old and older, you're not going into the land because you chose to rebel, and you were going to actually fire my servant, kill my servant Moses and my high priest Aaron and the two captains that came back with a positive report. You're going to kill them, elect your own leaders, and return back where I took you from. So now you're going to walk 40 years, and I'm going to kill everybody 20 years old and older because of your lack of faith. I wanted to take you into the place of my rest, Zion, Jerusalem. I'm going to deliver all the enemies into your hands. But because you said I brought you into this wilderness to kill your children, I'm going to save your children and kill you. That's why our forefathers, that's what kept them out of Zion. The Psalm says it. We go back and reread it in Numbers and provocation because they provoked the Most High to break words. That is powerful. The provocation. You provoke me to break my promise, to not be able to keep my word to each and every one of you. All of you would have went into battle, and you wouldn't have died. All you had to do was believe. I would have brought every single one of you into this place. But I promise you. But you doubt it. Not only did you doubt, you rebelled. And you're going to forcibly remove my servant. So now I'm going to kill you all, 20 years old and older, in this land. I'm going to keep my promise to your children. I'm not going to bring you into the place of my rest. Israel, Jerusalem being the capital. I watch over this land. This is the land I've chosen out of the earth for myself. This is my place of rest. I'm not going to let you enter into it. So this is one meaning of his rest. The promised land, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, his mountain in Jerusalem. I'm not letting you come there. You know, it's just powerful to me that you can be so rebellious that you cause the Most High to break his promise to you. Could have told you something years ago, given you a vision, given you a dream, sent somebody to you to tell you, and then you walked in unbelief and wonder why it didn't happen. Just be thankful that, well, maybe you can repent and turn back to him. Maybe he will still fulfill it. Maybe you can receive chastisement. If you're not being chastised for it, then no, you don't belong to him. Because he says he chastised all that belong to him. Maybe he'll allow you to enter into his rest, enter into peace with him. Okay, let's continue. So we are at 6:20. All right, so I pray that you understand that the Most High, our forefathers caused the Most High, caused him to breach his promise, to break his word. I mean, for me, that's just unimaginable. But this is what our forefathers did. You caused me to breach my promise, to break my word. But I'm going to break it. I'm going to keep it to your children. Let's see if Yah's rest, if it's the entire land of Israel. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 25. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25, starting in verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse plates, a great and a small. So, from, you know, he's giving them the law, and he's telling them, I don't want you having different measuring weights that don't equal. You know, because you can say, hey, this weight right here is a half a gram, but, you know, I'm going to say it weighs a gram. These diverse weights that you are using to measure out things. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. I have things that have one weight. What he's saying is, don't be having something that you say is a half a pound, but you're using, just say, a three-quarter weight to say it's a half a pound, or vice versa. You're cheating. You're not using just weight. Okay? For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously, unlawfully, are an abomination unto Yah thy Elohim. The individual that does this, that cheats somebody, the Most High says, you're an abomination. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way. Now the Amalekites, what they did was they preyed upon the weak. You know, the people who were had some diseases or, you know, they were old. They couldn't move as fast as everybody else. They tended to fall to the back of the line, to the back of the crowd. The Amalekites preyed upon them. Now, the Most High was wanting to kill them anyway, but, you know, he said, hey, the Amalekites, hey, I didn't tell you to do that. So he says, don't forget them. And this is who he sends Saul against, the Amalekites. Remember what the Amalekites did unto thee, by the way, when you came out, when you came forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, the last of you, those that were in the rear, even all that were feeble. They were weak. They were diseased. Most I didn't heal them. They were old. But these people preyed on them. When thou was faint and weary, and he feared not Elohim, the Amalekite didn't fear me. Therefore it shall be when Yah thy Elohim has given thee rest, when he's given you rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which Yah thy Elohim, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance to possess, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. The Most High says, I ain't forgetting this. And even though I wanted to kill you off, and I told you you were going to die in this wilderness, I did not tell the Amalekite to do that. They didn't fear me. So they came in and they preyed upon the feeble, the weak, the ones that were in the rear. Don't forget them. Wipe them from under heaven. I don't want them to exist. See, the you know, there are people that don't read the scriptures, that don't know the Elohim of this Bible. See, I don't care if it's a child. If it's an Amalekite child, kill it. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. Kill it. I don't care if they're old or if they're young. Wipe them from under heaven. And so he sent Saul to do that. And there were some people living amongst the Amalekites. I forget their name. They told them, hey, y'all can leave. The Most High's battle is not with you. And he kills all but the king. Because the Most High said, I don't want anything of theirs. I don't want the sheep. I don't want the oxen. I don't want the dog. I don't want the cat alive among the Amalekites. Kill it. Wipe them utterly. You know, they had to piss them off royally. I don't want nothing of theirs to live. Nothing that they own. Male or female, young or old. Kill it. He's telling them this here. But he brought them, says, when you come into the place of your rest, when I give you rest from your enemies about, then go get the Amalekites. Make sure it. Okay? So we got to understand, let's go back to this verse. Verse 19, therefore it shall be when Yah thy Elohim has given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land, all the land of Israel, which Yah Elohim of thy God, Yah Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Everything between the Nile River, the land of Goshen, to the Euphrates River. When you possess all that, there's only one time that Israel possessed all that, under King David. And they possessed it up under Saul because he told Saul to go kill the Amalekites. So that, under Saul and King David. Solomon, because of what he did, and really because of what David did, but mainly because of what Solomon did, Most High started taking the land back. Solomon started losing battles because he was putting up altars to other Elohim, even in the Most High's house, the wisest man in the world, trying to please all those women, those foreign women. They introduced their gods to him. He tried to please them and even put up altars to their gods. Is there Elohim in the house of the Most High, in the high places, taking the land back up under Solomon? And then he kept his promise to David, hey, because you brought the sword against Uriah, the sword shall never leave your house, and I'm going to rip the kingdom, not from your son Solomon for your sake, but from his son. It was only really a very short time that we have ever possessed the entire promised land as the Most High promised to us as a people under the first King Saul and David, and then it started to lose the land up under Solomon. Okay, so the land, the whole entire land of Israel, was considered to be his rest. It had to do with the land. It had to do with the promise of the land. And so when we return to the land, now we know that the people that are in the land right now that claim to be the lost sheep of the house of Israel, when the Most High returns, he's going to take back all the land of Israel. It's not just that little sliver of land. There's going to be some countries that have to give up some land. Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, part of Ethiopia. They're going to have to give up some land. Belongs to the Most High. The land that he promised us. The land that he says is his rest. He said we would not be back in that land until he returns. and that land would be occupied and trodden down by the Gentiles until he returned. But we know who's in the land right now. Not us. Not the people that was promised. And what I see, the brothers that have returned there, that are trying to, you know, make a presence in the land, so-called Hebrews, they are doing what our forefathers did in Numbers chapter 14. We should go back and take the land against the word of the Most High. I will gather you, and I will deliver it to you. I will gather you out of every nation. But they're trying to go over there and live amongst them and wonder why they have no success, because they are in disobedience. Most I didn't say it's time to come out of your room. You know how you send your child to the room when they're disobedient? And you tell them to go stay in there for whatever time period, and then they want to come out before you say to come out. So you make them stay longer. That's what our people are doing, operating in disobedience. So let's continue with the time. 36. So we can see from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 18, that Yah said that when he gave us rest in the land, that he promised that we would inherit the entire land. Don't forget the Amalekites. So this rest has to also do with rest from our enemies. Rest in the land that Yah walked, that he looked over. Has nothing to do with his Sabbath day. Has nothing to do with his feast day. Let's continue. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And we're going to get verses 10 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which Yah, your Elohim, giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. See, when we're doing what Yah said to do, I'm going to give you rest from your enemies, because I'm going to watch over you. You can live in safety. You can live in peace. You can live in comfort, because I'm going to watch over you. Then there shall be a place which Yah your Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command. If you go back to Exodus, Moses tells Israel, don't worship me in every high mountain. Don't worship me in every forest that you come across. Don't worship me in every green valley you come across. Only in the place where I choose to put my name. Your burnt offerings and your sacrifice, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto Yah. You shall rejoice before Yah your Elohim, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Take heed. See, people want to do what they want to do. Even today, the Most High says, hey, don't open a church to me on every corner. In every place that you see, only in the place that you choose, in one of thy tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offering, and there shalt thou do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of Yah thy Elohim, which he has given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof. He didn't say eat unclean, because the unclean were not supposed to, unclean were supposed to shout, unclean. They might have had leprosy. Unclean, get away from me. You don't want to catch this. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. Now we'll go into this other part another time. This is when I give you rest in the place. All dealing with the place of his rest. I'm going to watch over you. And where I tell you to bring your offerings to, not everywhere that you think you want to do it, but only where I tell you to. To every brother and sister that thinks that Yah said, hey, open up a house here and open up a house there, because we're not in our land, not so. We're supposed to have all these different sanctuaries. They're not supposed to be done. There should be very few of them. So this is what he says. When I give you rest from your enemy, then bring your offerings here. Now, I thank Yah that we are also his rest. We are his temple that he desires to dwell in. Go to Isaiah chapter 14 and look at some of the promises Yah made when we enter into his rest. Let me get verses 1 through 4. For Yah will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall put them in the land of Yah for servants and for handmaidens. And they shall take them captive, whose captive they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that Yah shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou wilt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city seat. So Yah has promised Israel, when I gather you again, I'm going to give you rest from all, everybody that was your oppressor. And see, this is something that the Gentile nations, the Gentile people, don't want to hear. Somehow they don't see these. Oh well, maybe those are past. No, this is the future. He's talking about future. When I gather you out of all the nations. Every time he gathers Israel, there are some curses that are, as long as Israel walks in unbelief, most I don't have to continually recurse Israel. The original curse reapplies itself. It is a continuing thing, perpetual. And Israel has been in captivity more than it's been free. With the last scattering being the last one, and the Most High says he will gather us out of all the nations, people who oppressed us. And if you truly want to know who they are, all of them, their national emblem is an eagle. In some form or another, it's an eagle. But they will cleave to the house of Jacob. And he says that Israel would possess them. and the Most High would give us rest from those enemies coming. Verse 5, Yah has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He has smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that rules the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hinders. The whole earth is at rest. This is future. The whole earth ain't never been at rest. And it's quiet. They break forth into singing. So this is a future prophecy. And all those nations that possess us, Moses says, they went too far. They knew my laws concerning that, and they knew that it was, see, it is illegal for one of the nations to possess Israel as a slave. They know that law. Because Israel is Elohim's chosen. And even though the Most High sent Israel into captivity, those nations that know Israel and know the Most High say, not here. You can come here and you won't be a citizen, but we'll treat you like a bond servant. They wanted to put us in perpetual slavery, but they should have treated us like a bond servant. You're a hired hand. And you cannot become a citizen of this nation because you belong to the Most High. But they should have done. But what they did was, we would have been not in our own land, and we would have been without power. The Most High says, until that time was up, we would be without power. He is our power. Not we ourselves, but he is our power. That's the mismate. We can't take the land. So I said, what do you mean we? I'm going to deliver it to you. And because you don't believe me, you'll die in your sin. You're going to die in your error. Starting with y'all 20 years old and older first. And every succeeding generation, those that don't believe me shall die in their sin. All we got to do is do what he said to do. And wait on him. Don't be trying to go back and take the land. Because he ain't tell us to go back and take the land. And all those nations that abused us and kept us in perpetual slavery, he says, they will pay for that error. We just have to be obedient to the Most High. The Most High sent us into this captivity. He says, I'll deliver you out of it. Be faithful to me. We got to understand that there's a time coming when all those nations that took you as slaves and kept you as slaves and didn't and sought to keep my inheritance for that. I don't know how many of you knew that, but it is illegal for the Gentiles to own a Hebrew as a slave against the laws of the Most High. But it's vice versa. The law says that Israel, if they take a slave, it's perpetual. It's a lifetime. They would have passed those to their children. But the world saw that and said, hey, we're going to do the same thing to them. We're going to do the same thing to them. But the Most High says, yeah, I got my people. So when we enter back into his rest again, in the future, when we start doing what he says to do, those nations will pay for their sin. And for how they treated us unjustly. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Look at verses 3 and 4. The book of Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is his rest in the kingdom. No more death, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. His kingdom, that is his rest. What he promised Israel always, when I give you rest from your enemies, when I give you rest in the land, in his kingdom, you're going to enter into his rest, and there won't be no more death, won't be no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. All the things of this world, everything will be taken care of. You will have eternal life. So worry about the former things. If you want to eat, you can eat. If you don't want to eat, you don't have to eat. When we're eternal, then we can travel this universe. Man is trying to do it right now. But they need to take part of the earth with them. Got to take some air. Got to take some water, got to take some food with them to travel this universe. But when he makes us eternal, we can just go in outer space. We don't need a machine. Can't die. Don't need to eat. Don't need water. You can take part in those pleasures if you want to on the earth. But you don't need them to survive. See, this is what man is trying to do in going to the stars. We want to travel to heaven. The Most High says, I didn't make you like that right now. But when I give you eternal life, and I make it to where you being in a vacuum of space won't kill you, when I make it to where you can travel at the speed of your mind, so you think it, there you are. You can travel anywhere in my universe you want to, in the created universe. But I didn't never tell you that you were coming to where I'm at. My place is outside the creation. I created this for you. And it gave me pleasure to do so. But you can travel at the speed of thought. Want to be on the moon? There you are. Faster than the speed of light. The things he says that he has for us, we can't even imagine. So if I can imagine that, that's what the Most High really has for you. What he has for us to overcome. Go to Isaiah 60. The book of Isaiah chapter 6. Let's start in verse 1. To see what the land is going to do and what everybody in the land, when we enter into his rest, Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yah is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yah shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, the land. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all thy they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. Now, the Most High before this is going to kill everything in the sea. And in another lesson, I'll show you that there's going to be a river that flows from his throne that gives life back to the sea. And mainly the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. All the other water is going to be gone off the earth. Shall come to thee. The multitude of the camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries of the Midian and the Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of Yah. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up from the acceptance of mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as the cloud, and as the dove in their windows? Verse 9, Yah's people enter into his rest. Surely the isles shall wait for thee, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of Yah thy Elohim, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. And the sons of the strangers shall build up the walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and their kings may be brought. For the nation and the kingdom, that really should be nation, that should be people like ethnicity. And the kingdom is like the country that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations or those people shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of Yah, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. Excuse me. Thou shalt also know that I am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Yah is going to redo Israel, and I didn't put it in here, but I could take it into Zephaniah, maybe it's later on in this lesson, that he tells us that he's going to burn the entire land of Israel except for the coast. He's going to burn it to cleanse it. So what it says, raise it, but not R-A-I-S-E, as in to rise up. But he's going to raise it as an R-A-Z-E with fire. Burn it to purify it. Okay? Verse 17. For brass I will bring gold. Now, he's going to upgrade Jerusalem. Upgrade it. For brass I will bring gold. And for iron, I will bring silver. And for wood, brass. I'm going to upgrade everything to be more or less. Wood rots out. Brass and silver and those types of things, they last longer. And for stone, iron. I will also make thy officers peace and the exactors of righteousness. I told you that the Most High says in Revelation chapter 2 and he that overcomes would have to rule the nations with a rod of iron, just like Messiah ruled. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and we can't rule separately or differently than he ruled. So these peace officers have to rule in righteousness. They have to keep the laws, and they have to judge according to the law, exactly as Messiah will and does. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates shall no more thy light, the sun shall be no more thy light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But Yah shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Elohim thy glory. Now, when we read in, I believe it's Matthews, don't hold me to this, but I believe it's Matthews, when Messiah returns, it tells you that the sun and the moon are going to be dark. They're not going to shine and give their light the way that they normally would. This is a sign to us, so that we can see Messiah's return. Nothing is going to take away from the glory of his return, not even the sun and the moon. He says we're going to be able to see him in every nation. So as the world rotates and Messiah is on his return, every nation is going to see him. And the sun is not going to blot out his light. Neither is the moon going to blot out his light. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself. Now the sun, no more going down. That means something has happened to the earth. Because the sun only rises and goes down because of the rotation of the earth. For Yah shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. In the Most High's kingdom, in his rest, when he brings his rest, everybody within that kingdom has to be righteous. We know that word righteous means lawful. They have to be obeying. The people also shall be, and the people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. Can't be in the kingdom of the Most High and be disobedient. He's telling you all the wicked have been removed. All the lawbreakers have been removed. And everybody that is there obeys the Most High. They obey his laws, statutes, commandments, his ordinance, his judgment. The branch of my planting, the work of my hand, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, Yah, will hasten it in his time. Yah is going to cause this to happen. He says, and I'm going to make it happen in a hurry, in his time. When it's time, it's not going to dilly-dally around and have to happen over time. I'm going to make it happen quick. Not going to be there 30 and 40 years fighting for your rights, hoping to be accepted by the people who are occupying the land. Yah will occupy the land. Yeshua will occupy the land. So I'm going to make these things happen in a hurry. Everybody's going to obey my laws here. So Yah says it in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. It says he says it in the Psalms 132. But Isaiah 66 and 1. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all these things, those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and a contrite spirit, and that trembles at my word. Psalms 132. Psalms 132, verses 13 and 14. Back on. For Yah has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. He's already telling us where the place of his rest is, as far as the physical place on this earth. Go back to Isaiah 66 and 1. 2. Verse 3. I've already read verse 2. He that kills an ox is as slew a man. This is a new standard. It goes back to pre-flood, when man wasn't eating meat. He wasn't killing the animals, weren't killing other animals to eat. He that kills an ox as if he slew a man. I want no more death. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. I also will choose their delusion, and will bring their fears upon them. Even when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that which I delighted not. Does he delight then? Zion. He delights in his people being righteous. He delights in his people obeying his voice. When we enter into his rest, he says, you come to make a sacrifice to me. I'm not going to look at it the same because I never wanted those things. I only did those things because of sin. But everybody's going to be righteous. You won't be doing those things. Keep reading. Hear the word of Yah, verse 5. You that tremble at his word. See, people don't tremble at the word of Yah. You know, you're not afraid of offending him. Where were we at? We are at 708. I apologize. I got caught up. We will pick this up on next Tuesday. I think I have, I'm going to take you in to show you what Yah is going to do to the land when Yah gives rest to his people and where his real rest is. Okay, so we will finish this up on next week, next Tuesday. Because people are in a state of delusion right now. And we don't want to be in that delusion. We don't want to take part of that. Excuse me. God has told us and has given us in his word what he will do. And then we will talk about the heavenly Jerusalem coming down, that all the saints will go into. But in the 1,000-year reign, the land, and then in the kingdom, the new Jerusalem. And what we are to be today, saying that Yah wants to rest in you. He wants you to rest in him. But he created you to be his rest. You and I. We'll get into that on next week. Again, this has nothing to do with the Sabbath days or the feast days. This has to do with the place that Yah wants to take his rest, the people that he wants to take his rest in, and the kingdom that he wants to set up. So we'll finish looking at this on next week. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you. even now, giving you glory, honor, and praise, that you might allow us, Father, to enter into your rest, that we walk not in your wrath, but that we walk peaceably with you, Father, that we obey your voice, and we hearken unto it. Even in these last days, Father, when men seem so much want to do what's right in their own eyes, give us your sight. Let us see things through your eyes, that we might walk according to your ways, in spirit and in truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we will pick this up on next Tuesday. Let me mark this. I need to start at. We're in Isaiah chapter 61. We will finish reading that. And on Sunday, 10 a.m., this week we will be celebrating Pentecost 2023, 50 days after Passover. And so I pray that, you know, everybody who can attend, that you attend, that we pay homage. I call it Citizenship Day. Really, as I see it in the scripture, it is Citizenship Day. It is the day that the kingdom was released, that we could get our citizenship in the kingdom. We might come, each have been saved and filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, different day. But National Citizenship Day is Pentecost for us. And so we want to be in observance of that. I pray that we are here on Shabbat. We will continue in false salvation. We're still not finished with that. So we will do that on Shabbat, probably Friday evening, Saturday morning. Not sure what we will do Sabbath evening yet, but we will have a service Sunday, because we have not been meeting on, we usually used to use that date for spiritual warfare. But we will have Pentecost service on Sunday at 10 a.m. And we will go before the Most High. You know, we want to, if you have anybody in the family that has not come into the right relationship with the Most High, who needs their citizenship, I think I will gear the lesson toward that. And then we will have a small service, and we will have a communion in that day. But, you know, there will be a precept for that. And we want to offer the kingdom to those in righteousness, you know, in rightness, with the right expectation. Want to be able to teach this, make it, so get right to the point, so that people understand the expectation that they need to come with. And if they want to become citizens in the kingdom, then this is what the necessary is that they do today. And that they understand that it's a blood covenant. It was sealed with the life of Messiah, so if you break the covenant, it requires your life, and you will lose it. Most High just not going to judge you right now, but he has picked a day that he will judge. And so that they understand that, you know, you don't take this lightly, that you don't just come into it and then jump in and jump out. And that you, anything that you confess, that you don't go back to it, because he will not forgive that. That being said, remember, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments safe, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
you have no women. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, family. Have a blessed evening. On Thursday for the business meeting.